Earlier, we had talked a bit about after the Florida school massacre, a couple of gentlemen wrote an op-ed piece that I saw at foxnews.com, and I was very impressed by it. What about regulating social media companies that keep us safe? And we thought, well, gosh, that's going to be a high hurdle because that's a First Amendment issue, obviously. One of the authors of this op-ed piece was Dimitri Penny. He's a Dallas police sergeant. He is also the president of the Dallas Fallen Officers Foundation. You remember they had five Dallas police officers who were essentially assassinated there. And he thinks that Facebook, along with Twitter and other social media platforms, Google, that they actually should have to be responsible for some of the material that's on their websites because it does tend to bring the crazies out of the basement. So let's start there with Mr. Penny, who joins us now on WDLS. Mr. Penny, thanks for your time on very short notice this morning. We were just talking about your piece. I know you co-wrote this with Eric Feinberg. He's the CEO of a cyber intelligence company. How do we even begin to police the internet for provocative material when we really don't know what will provoke the crazies?
Well, let me first begin by explaining who I am. I'm a police officer here in Dallas. I am also an African-American police officer. I'm the police officer that initiated in 2016 after the 7/7 shooting. I initiated the lawsuits against the Black Lives Matter because of this same content, because of how that content was used to radicalize the shooter, Mika Johnson, in Dallas. Okay, in January of 2017, I filed a lawsuit against Facebook, Google, and Twitter for basically facilitating the attack. Right, I'm just using the law that the government gave us. Right,
because you found the Black Lives Matter content to be provocative to the shooter, and you were able to draw a direct linkage.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And one of the images, I don't know if you guys followed the images with the running back out of Cleveland, Isaiah Crowell, but he shared an image of a police officer having his throat slit. That image had already been shared on social media about 5,500 times before Isaiah Crowell got it, and that became a PR nightmare. And make a long story short, I end up intervening in that situation and bringing him down to Patrick Zamarripa's funeral. And kind of resolve that issue. But what I was showing was that this material was allowed to freely circulate on social media, and no one took it down. Even when we reported it as being, it's an image of showing a police officer in uniform having his throat slit by an ISIS fighter, what appears to be an ISIS revolutionary fighter dressed in all black. And you can't tell me that's free speech, right? I know that's going to be the argument that you're going to hear across the board.
We settled that a better part of a century ago. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater, and you can't overtly make threats to people, individuals, or groups when standing on the street corner, nor can you on social media.
Yes, sir. And that even takes us back to a 1942 court case ruling, which is Chablansky versus New Hampshire, which says that fighting words cannot be used as protection of free speech. So if you have an image which is just the same as speech that can be used to incite an individual to violence, then that image cannot be used.
How can Facebook begin to police all the posts on Facebook?
Well, first and foremost, it's their algorithm, right? They created the platform. It's their algorithm, okay? The company that I worked in, and that's what brought me to the tech side of it. So the tech side of it, there's a company out of New York called GOPEC. GOPEC has the patented technology to identify this, and it's not just domestic terrorist stuff. It's international terrorism that's being used on these platforms that the social media companies are not removing, even when you tell them about it. So there are two issues here. There's the issue of the content that does not belong in the public domain, and then there's the issue of when you report it to them, they can't even tell you what violates.
Are they worried about the legalities of removing the content or by hurting their business model? Do you think there's a monetary aspect to this? Why, if I'm Mark Zuckerberg, why don't I want that removed?
It's money associated with it. You know, with click shares, post. I mean, the followers mean money, right? I'm the one back in 20 in 2017 where I reported that there was ad shared revenue. That's also part of my lawsuit, but there was ad shared revenue on ISIS content. You had businesses like Ford. They were taxing Ford advertisement to ISIS videos. And guess what? Those ISIS videos were being shared hundreds of thousands of times. They're monetizing those videos to make money off of them. The American public, you're telling me that the American public is indirectly funding terrorism.
Yeah, well, nobody wants that. We're talking here with Dimitri Penny, Dallas police sergeant, the man who led the legal battle against Google and Facebook and Twitter regarding the postings of provocative videos and illegal videos that he thinks led to the killing of those Dallas police officers, right?
Well, and you know, you take it. Now look at the shooting we had last week and Wednesday, Valentine's Day in Florida. You've got images up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, very graphic images that you wouldn't want to see anywhere else, but they're out there. And you know, not only do I think social media should be held accountable, but even some of these television stations that are down there throwing microphones in the faces of 13 and 14-year-old kids right now. I just don't understand it.
Yes. That's terrible. But, you know, you have so many people that convolute this message. I mean, this just all this does is just brings everyone back to the middle on the gun debate. You did the same thing with Sandy Hook. They did the same thing after the Las Vegas shooting. All it does is it causes, and I hate to say the liberal ideologies, but let's say the free thinking individual, but it brings these individuals back to that conversation, right? Look at Chicago, and that Chicago is a perfect example. You have some of the strictest gun laws in the nation. Mm-hmm. And you tell me that restricting more guns, placing more restrictions on guns is going to help the murder rate go down?
It's an emotional argument. I understand why people throw it out there, but really intellectually it's a non-starter. We had a four-time felon here who just shot down one of our commanders last week who shouldn't have been armed. He had body armor on. He was out of prison again and killed one of our best. Well, officer, thanks for your time. It's really a great piece. We've tweeted it out to our I hope you don't mind we put it on Twitter, but we've tweeted out your piece with your co-author. I think it's very impactful, and it's illustrative of the argument that's going on now, and we wish you the very best.
Absolutely. Well, anytime you guys need me, don't hesitate to call me.
Thanks. We will be calling you back. Thank you, officer. Appreciate it. Take care.
That guy has we have to have him back. He's got so much to say. He's got a personal connection with gun violence as well. It's what led him into his police career, was witnessing a 16-year-old cousin get shot. So, a guy that's got a storied career like this and a back past to back it up, it's worth listening to.
Silver lining in Dallas was their police chief had the right response to it. And Dimitri Penny, the man we just talked to, obviously he has a lot to say about how to go forward and make some progress here.
For more Big John and Ramblin' Ray, tune in to them live weekday morning 6 till 9 a.m. on WLS AM 890. And you can stream them at WLSAM.com.